Today is the 30th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, when the Vietnam War was effectively lost.
I didn't think that I would be drafted, but lo and behold, I was. I found out that I was 1A.
59-year-old Glenn Baker toured Vietnam from 1968 to 70 as a member of the 1st Air Cavalry. In the months leading up to his tour, Baker was an objector to the war, a pre-law student doing all he could to stay out.
My desire was to become a lawyer. I had an uncle who was a federal judge at that time.
As an African American, he had a better chance than most. He even had others petition on his behalf. The Army's response?
My area of concentration wasn't in the interest of national defense. And clearly in 1968, Canada and Australia were not an option for me. So I went.
He says the racial tension during the war was palpable.
White soldiers donning white sheets, pretending that they were Ku Klux Klanmen. They showed the movie 100 Rifles, which starred former football player Jim Brown and Raquel Welch. There's a love scene, and it sparked a race riot at the compound.
That tension was complicated by the propaganda campaign waged by the North Vietnamese, sometimes over loudspeakers.
And they targeted us specifically because it would say, "Soul brother, why do you fight us? You're not free. I'm same Muhammad Ali. We didn't shoot Dr. King."
Glenn Baker wants everyone to know the racial dynamics of his experience. As a backdrop to the story, he's about to tell of the death of a white soldier.
And this was Easter Sunday, April 6, 1969, in Binh Long Province. We had just had prayer service for the various guys who wanted to participate, and we came under small arms attack. Now, the day before, I had been walking point. So I had that emotional high of having been on point where you feel powerful, yet you're really powerless because you can't always see what's out there. So now I'm on an emotional low. And we came under small arms attack, and we began to engage where we thought the fire was coming from. Now, we had the capacity to use helicopter gunships. The CO elected not to use the Cobras. He also chose not to call in artillery to pepper the area to soften it up because we were big on body count. So after the firing, we were ordered to go online, to get online. And I was told by the platoon sergeant, and I was a squad leader, to walk the flank, and I refused. So he responded, "I'm giving you a lawful order." And we didn't agree anyway. And I said, "There are no lawful orders in the bush." And he looked, I had my 16 already slung, and he didn't have his in his hand. So one of the new guys in my squad, an FNG, you know, funny new guy, nice kid, volunteered to walk the flank for me. In less than 10 seconds, the AK-47 started cracking again, and this guy in my squad, this young guy, caught a bullet in the mouth. "Doc," those were his last words. My squad was forced to prepare a stretcher, wrap him in his poncho, and then pull guard all night long over him, and he was extracted the next day. I blamed myself. I took responsibility for his loss. I thought that as his squad leader and with my experience in the bush, I would have seen something in the lay of the land that he overlooked. Years later, when I began my healing process, when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, my first step in healing was to come to grips with my comrade's loss. I wrote a poem, and part of the therapy required that we visit the wall in Washington. I found his name, and I left that poem there. On Easter Sunday, it was a beautiful day. After breaking for beans, we began to pray. When all of a sudden, we came under attack, we heard that deadly familiar sound that goes cack, cack, cack. When all of a sudden the firing did cease and we were ordered online to find the little beast, I was told by my sergeant to walk the flank. I said, oh no, in spite of his rank. Then a guy named Leo said, I'll do it, Sarge. And ever so slowly, we began to charge. I didn't know Leo well, except he hailed from the south. A few minutes later, Leo caught a bullet in the mouth. And so we pulled back. I searched to no avail, with Leo's lifeless body all alone on a trail. We took Leo's body and wrapped him in his poncho, while each of us cried we'd lost another honcho. My wishes are that he didn't die in vain. Yet still in my mind, I carry the blame. And so for the fallen warrior who lives no more, I've written this tribute for the war I abhorred. May you rest in peace, Leo.